Phil Hendry.
All right, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Those of you watching Phil TV in HD, you're looking at photographs of a lunar eclipse that occurred here on the West Coast last... we are now into a Friday, the 26th. This was on the 25th, but it's all on the same night. I can't make head or tail out of this.
Well, you can see the shadow on the moon. That's the Earth.
So a lunar eclipse is when the Earth is getting between the moon and the sun. And essentially what I'm looking at here is... It looks like just a partial moon.
Yeah, but people are in a moon. You're looking at a moon. They know what they're looking at.
Yeah. Well, isn't that nice that they know what they're looking at? Because I sure don't know what I'm looking at.
Well, that stands to reason, Phil. There's no comment on you. But when it comes to astronomy, wouldn't you say that you're... And I don't mean that you're an idiot, but when it comes to astronomy, you're an idiot.
Yeah, and what are you?
Well, oh, listen, what a child.
Well, what are you?
I think I'm a little more educated. When it comes to astronomy, you're an imbecile. And I am...
A partial imbecile.
You know what I did with this hand?
Hey! All right, so, in other words, those are some pictures that I thought I'd show you. They don't show much, because we don't really know what we're looking at, but nonetheless, it sounds really exciting. Here's another picture here. And again, my apologies to those of you that don't have Phil TV, but you know what? Maybe you ought to get it. Very good point. Just go to philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. You get yourself Phil TV, and you can look at the pictures of the lunar eclipse. Or you could just go to a newspaper and look at those. This is the moon, and that little shadow there is the shadow of the Earth passing in front of the moon, in front of the sun, and blocking the sun from the moon. So that's where that's at.
Well, that's not very exciting.
You're right. Some people are really down with it. I like to look at pictures of the... I like the cosmos. I think it's a fascinating and marvelous thing that we see out there from time to time. I don't know what it means. There are a lot of people that see things. They go, oh, wow, did you see Saturn last night? I'm like, what are you talking about, man? Yeah, you could clearly see the rings. I'm like, what? What rings?
Well, they have telescopes.
Yeah, but even, look, I had a telescope I bought for the kids for Christmas one year. And on the box, it said... You can see the rings of Saturn, all this stuff.
What, on the box, huh? Well, get a load of you. I guess you... Do you believe everything you read on boxes? Well, I guess that doesn't sound right.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I do. But nonetheless, do I believe everything I read on boxes?
Yeah.
Yeah, if the box says jock strap inside, I think I do.
Maybe you...
Well, that, I should have read the box on... Never mind.
Yeah. All right, so, but I you know, I've heard people buy I got the telescope, I looked through the damn thing, and I see this little blob, and I don't know what I'm looking at. I don't know anything about telescopes. I don't know how to set them up, and until such time as I learn, the only thing I know how to do with a telescope, and no, I'm not looking in somebody's bedroom window, bud.
Well, God, you'd be tempted to.
I'm not tempted to, no. The only thing I look at, I'll look at a tree or something. Hey, look, there's that tree. It really is a big tree now.
Well, what about the moon?
Yeah, the moon. You can look at the moon. There's the moon. And it looks cool. It's got craters. But then some will say, hey, see Venus? No. I don't,
Well, you got to know where to... Good Lord, you have to know where Venus is.
Yeah, it's up in the sky.
Is it in the sky? Well, thanks.
No, but I mean, I know you know it's in the sky, but you...
I know it's in the sky. I don't know what part of the, and sometimes I'll know what part of the sky, and I'll aim the damn thing at Venus, and it just looks like a freaking blob to me. So I don't, obviously I don't know what I'm doing. Anyway, the moon toe-dipped through the Earth's shadow in a partial lunar eclipse on Thursday, and to talk more with us about this and this, you know, very, very exciting occurrence is Dr. Ron Tarner at Mountain Meadow Observatory in Cloverdale, Colorado. Dr. Tarner is the head astronomer there. Dr. Turner, were you monitoring this at all?
Well, Phil, we were briefly this evening, and I think toe-dip is a very good description of what the moon and the what relationship the moon and the Earth have as they travel along this concurrent path in front of the sun.
So how did it look there in Colorado?
Well, you know, from where we are, we're at an observatory, so we have a fairly significant and powerful viewing instruments in our Closet 1 and Closet 2 telescopes. But the average Coloradoan, if they have an average telescope, As a matter of fact, my son was over this evening, and he had a telescope that he had gotten at a birthday party. One of the kids, you know, they give these presents out.
Yeah.
And this was a plastic telescope, like the kind they used on pirate ships. Okay.
Yeah.
And he had it. Brian had it up on the balcony, the second deck of our home, and he could very clearly see the eclipse as it was happening. So would you say you had an actual telescope that is... How much did the telescope cost?
The one that I bought for the kids?
Yeah.
Oh, it was over $100.
And here's my son, Brian, with his telescope that was plastic, that was got out of a bag. It was given to him in a baggie. So I don't know what you're doing wrong.
Wait, are you telling me your son had a plastic telescope that he got out of a... What do you mean, a baggie?
What? Yeah, was it... What was it?
It was a telescope. The kind that you get in a bag.
I don't know the kind you get in a bag.
Well, the kind... In other words, if you go to a toy store, there are telescopes that come in a box. And then you will find telescopes that come in a plastic bag. And it'll have like a pirate mustache with it.
In other words, it's not really a telescope.
Well, I don't want to say that because he saw Venus. Or not Venus, he saw... Well, Brian, did you see Venus?
Everything.
He says he saw Venus, too.
Oh, that... Okay. His father's an astronomer, you know.
Wait just a minute. This is a telescope that came in a bag with a pirate mustache.
Yes, and a patch.
And a pirate patch.
Yes.
So the message that I'm getting here, and it's a message that I've gotten before, is I'm too dumb to figure out...
No, come on, Phil.
No, wait. I'm too dumb to figure out how to use a telescope that cost me over $100, but your son takes a plastic telescope out of a baggie with a pirate patch and a mustache, and he sees Venus.
I guess in so many words, yes.
All right.
But, Phil, I don't think it's because you're dumb. I think it's because Margaret made a very interesting observation about you last hour, and I wanted to follow up if I could. Because you may be autistic doesn't...
Oh, come on. Are we going to go down that road again?
Phil, would you listen to him? He's a doctor.
He's not a medical doctor.
No, you're right. I'm not a medical doctor. I'm just saying, listen, you may be.
I don't even accept the idea that I may be. I think it's an insult to people that are truly autistic to sit here and say, Phil, you may be autistic. That's why you don't know how to figure out a telescope.
Well, Phil, a lot of guys figure out telescopes, you know.
You figure, Phil, that a lot of guys could figure out anything that can extend, okay?
Well, I wouldn't put it that way, but it's a very interesting observation.
I see. So I don't know how to... Oh, great. So we're alluding to sexual dysfunction?
I didn't say that. You did. That's on you, not me.
I'd have to agree with her.
Yeah, Dr. Turner, thank you. This is devolving into a ridiculous exchange having to do with sexuality and telescopes as phallic symbols, and you've got your son there.
I'm not talking about sex with my son. I'm talking about it with you and Ms. Gray, and only by way of answering why it is you can't figure out a telescope.
I'm not the only guy that can't figure out telescopes, okay?
Really? All right. Whatever you say.
Yeah, Mr. I mean, I could figure it out.
Don't start giving me this crap. You guys are all just sort of conspiratorially...
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right, and I'm paranoid, too. There's all kinds of stuff wrong with me. I'm autistic, I'm paranoid, I'm imagining things, I can't figure out telescopes.
Well, Phil, you brought me on the program tonight to talk about the lunar eclipse, and I was very happy to do that. And I simply wanted to point out that if you can't figure out a telescope, my son...
Yeah, your son has one that he got in a baggie with a pirate mustache and a pirate's patch, and he looked at Venus.
Yes, he did. You got all of that right.
Well, does that show you that maybe I'm not autistic because my memory's good?
Dr. Turner, that does seem to indicate something.
Well...
Get out of here.
That man called into this program...
I'm not going to listen to that horse dung. And the two of you, Dr. Turner, what is this? What about Bob? All of a sudden, an amateur like you, and you're weighing in with him and consulting on whether I'm autistic or not.
Well, I just thought of it as a possibility because, you know, everybody's autistic now, it seems. I mean, they're talking about people, oh, I don't know. What, Charles Bronson, I read something the other day. You know, he's long gone. But
Charles Bronson, huh?
Yes, because his face always, he never changed expressions.
Yeah, I thought Charles Bronson was an autistic actor.
You sure they weren't saying artistic?
No, they weren't.
And because he never changed expressions.
Yeah, I thought maybe.
You know what? I think you're making that up. I don't think there's anything you guys are saying tonight. We'll take a break, and let me just collect myself.
It is shocking news.
Yeah. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. The backstage pass, you can not only listen to this fall-de-rall, you can watch it happen as it's happening. We'll be right
Truth
back.
Is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Listening to the music of what was once a Nazi sympathizer. That's right. This is Ace of Base, and one member of their group, some guy named Ulf something or other, used to be in a Nazi band.
Oh, my ass.
Maybe. Oh, yeah. Wow, there's some soul there. Ace of Base, and one of the members of the group has come clean on his Nazi past. That and more coming up next on The Phil Henry Show. Okay, enough of that.
Oh, I like this song. This is called The Sign. Do, 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 do. You don't like this?
No, I don't really. I don't go for pop music. I've never been a big, adult contemporary kind of a guy. And,
yeah, this song's bitching.
But don't dance because you've got that limp. Would you ask him not to dance?
Why can't he dance?
Because he's... Look at him, he's limping around the room like Quasimodo.
Yeah!
Alright, where's the story, bud? I don't care about you dancing. Ekberg, that's this jackass's name. Some cat by the name of Ulf Ekberg. And this guy was in Ace of Base. Where's this guy's damn story? And Ace of Base's Ulf Ekberg apparently copped to having had right-wing opinions when he was a teenager. Those opinions were based on poor judgment and ignorance. I'm truly sorry for any hurt and disappointment this has caused our fans. I really hope that we clearly have stated that Ace of Base never shared any of these opinions and strongly oppose all extremist opinions on both the right and the left wing. Yeah, those lefties, they bugged me too. No, he didn't say that, but he did say, my past is my own and only I can own up to it. What? Paranoisy. Only about 1,000 copies of the Commit Suicide album, which was reportedly titled Oof Was a Nazi, were produced. Purportedly, its song list included the tracks Don't Touch Our Country and White Power, Black Skull Slaughter. Good God!
What is that?
I think it's some group or some group that he used to be in trying to, malign this poor man. Would you turn that crap off, please?
It's not crap. It's lovely.
Yeah, it's just so sweet.
But it's like Ace of Base. There was a hit.
That's nice. I'm glad it was a hit. What happened to the story, bud? You know, I'm going to start killing somebody around here, man. So that's essentially it, though. This guy, Ulf Ekberg. Look him up to read his story. You know, more of us. Here it is. Ulf Ekberg. Ulf Ekberg. Speaking exclusively with E! News, the musician addressed the public firestorm over his alleged past Nazi ties. What public firestorm?
Well, Phil, in Europe, Ace of Base is all that.
Well, that's nice. You know, I'll never forget, you know, my cousins are from Canada. My cousins are Canadian. And, you know, you really know there's a distinct Canadian side of the family and an American side of the family. When my cousins, and this was back in the 70s, would say, wow, have you guys heard ABBA? And we were like, who? Sure enough, they were right. ABBA became a big hit. But they were a huge hit in Europe and in Canada and other places before they ever came here to the States.
Well, the United States is notoriously insular, Phil, when it comes to certain things. I don't think it's anything to be proud of.
I do. I think it's something to be proud of, because if you make it in America, man, you've made it. And we're very particular here. Soccer will never be an international sport until it makes it here.
That is horse dung, and you know it.
Well, yes, I do know it, but it's a nice thing to say. Actually, it's the one thing, when I look at soccer, it's the one thing we are kind of like clueless about. Although it took me a long time to start to enjoy it. I'm only enjoying it now, and not because of the sport. I'm enjoying it by way of the culture around English soccer.
Yeah, you like the hooliganism?
No, I do not like the hooliganism. No, it's the fans. I like the fans. I like the league. I like the team. I like the culture around it. And yes, the drinking. Okay, I'll go right ahead and say it. The fact that they celebrate quaffing one.
Well, no, they don't, because they had all of the hooliganism.
They had hooliganism, yeah, but they still meet in their pubs, and yeah, I don't know, I just dig it. So anyway, getting back here to Ace of Base, speaking exclusively with E! News, the musician addressed the public firestorm over his alleged Nazi ties after reports surfaced Tuesday claiming that he was a member of a pro-Nazi band before he helped form the hit-making Swedish pop quartet that would eventually churn out hits like All That She Wants and The Sign, which we just heard there. And although Ekberg admits that he is regretful about some of my thoughts from those days, which he calls nauseating, he insists that the band in question, Commit Suicide, did not write the controversial song supposedly attributed to them, which popped up in a demo tape that's reportedly been making the rounds for some time now. I have seen the demo of six songs that began floating around in 1996 claiming that Commit Suicide had written those songs. I did have a synth band called Commit Suicide between 1984 and 1986, with two gentlemen called Jens Andersen and Jens Svensson, and two of the songs in this demo were written and performed by us, Ekberg tells E! News. The problem is that the other four songs are skinhead music with very racist lyrics, he explains. These songs have absolutely nothing to do with Commit Suicide. We did not write or perform those songs that were attributed to us.
Well, but he does admit having these Nazi views.
Well, let's read on, because I think that that's why they're attributed to them. According to the music site Noisy, Noisy.com, which reported on Ekberg's purported Nazi connection, one of those songs includes these lyrics, which the site translated as, "Men in white hoods march down the road. We enjoy ourselves when you're sawing off N-word heads."
Oh, my God.
"Immigrant, we hate you. Out, 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 out. Nordic people, wake up now. Shoot, 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 shoot." Even more damning, the site also published a photograph allegedly of Ekberg doing the Nazi salute. Commit Suicide was a new wave music band creating and performing electronic music on synthesizers without any political touch or agenda, Ekberg continued. "The racist songs in this demo were not by us, but our potential association with such groups is a matter I truly regret." Aha! Now he finally gets to it. The 42-year-old also denied reports that he was affiliated with the far-right political group Swedish Democrats, which has in the past been lobbed with accusations of racism. "I want to point out that I never had been a member of Swedish Democrats. That is a factual error, whereas mine was an error more serious than that," he says. All right. "I have always been deeply regretful of that period in my life as I strive to bring happiness to people, and during that period I did not live up to that standard," the musician explained, referring to my behavior and my mindset in the 1980s. "I have not been involved in violence or political activism in the past 25 years. However, I find some of my thoughts from those days..." I read you the rest of that. "Some of my thoughts from those days nauseating to myself today. And although he cops to having had right-wing opinions as a teenager, he said those opinions were based on poor judgment and ignorance." So this guy is saying that there might have been violence.
Where do you read that?
He said in the last 25 years. He said, "I've not been involved in the last 25 years. Now, the guy's 42, which puts him at the age of 22 in 1993. In 25 years, so when he was from... up until the age of 17, he's claiming he might have been involved in race-related violence. My God, this guy had a band in 84. How old was he, six?
Yeah, the guy's like four.
No, he wasn't four, but the guy's 42, so, he was a very young man when he had this band, and he was probably very, very young when he was involved in whatever the hell it was he was involved in. Some of these lyrics are, like, way out there, man. But you want to know something? That cat is absolutely right. He was very young. He's admitting to the fact he had those views when he was young. He's saying he's owning up to what they did do and what they didn't do. He doesn't want to be painted with some stripe. He doesn't want to be accused of having written songs that he didn't write. And he doesn't want to be accused of having had a band doing things that they weren't doing. But he is saying he had these views.
Well, it sounds to me like he's setting himself up for some political office, like he's trying to clean it up.
Yeah, what if he's trying to clean everything out?
For what?
For some run, Phil, potentially, and God forbid... God forgive me for saying this, and God forbid that it should happen, but he may be running for Prime Minister of the Republic of... Is it Norway?
No, it's Sweden.
All right, well...
He may be running for...
Potentially running for the possibility of the Prime Ministership, or whatever they call it, of the Sweden... What's it called?
Sweden.
Of Sweden?
Phil,
what is that?
Henry.
We're done, because you took too long.
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
All right, here it is. This is the world-famous floating head story.
Finally, we're going to get to this. You have been...
Just take it easy. The crew team...
Well, I mean, you've been talking about this all night. I want to know... And if he says anything...
Bud, just keep your dirty comments to yourself.
You don't want us to talk about giant head.
You see what I'm saying?
I'm going to kick you out of the studio.
Meow.
I'm going to kick you out of the studio. The crew team at New York's Marist College came across a puzzling sight this week when a large foam head floating in Hudson River crossed their path toward the end of their morning row. While on the river... What do you want, bud?
What's a row?
See, he's going to keep doing this.
It's a rowing team.
That's all I want to know.
Is that it?
Yeah.
While on the river Monday... God, bud, you went, yeah.
Yeah, man, you sound weird. Why don't you just shut up, man? Let me read.
You sound weird.
No, you sound weird.
I'm not the one with the thick lips.
Okay, both of you, get out of here, bud. Get out of here.
I didn't do anything.
Get out of here.
Good.
That's long overdue.
And stay out.
I didn't do nothing. All I said...
The racist comment right then. The crew team at New York's Marist College came across a puzzling sight this week when a large foam head floating in Hudson River crossed their path toward the end of their morning row. While on the river Monday morning, crew coach Matt Lavin was the first to spot the mysterious 7-foot-high fiberglass-covered head, which is 4 to 5 feet wide. The ominous sighting gave the coach pause, and he had his team stay back as he approached to investigate.
Good God, what do you think it was?
I don't think it was anything serious.
Well, I mean, yeah, everybody backing up.
Do you think it was something that was religious?
No, I don't. Hold on.
Yeah, but you could see he was concerned.
Well, he was concerned because there's a giant floating head. I guess, I don't know.
You see what I'm saying? So there's something about that.
Well, I would imagine a giant floating head in the Hudson River would, like, you know, wow, what is that, dude? So he had his team stay back.
Why?
Maybe he thought there was an explosive in it, man. Maybe he thought that it was tied to a mine. I mean, it is unusual. And the first thing you're going to do is go over to it to check it out. And if someone wants to hurt somebody, you know, that's kind of an interesting booby trap, I guess. But the only thing, who are you going to kill?
Well, if it went into a boat, if it floated over to a boat, if the head somehow propelled itself, I don't mean propelled itself.
Yeah, but if the head went over.
Yes.
If the head went over. See, you see what I'm saying? You know...
No, Phil, we don't see what... We're saying if the head ran into a boat.
That I can relate to. I can relate to the head running into a boat. But you didn't say that. You said if it propelled itself.
Well, you don't know why the head's floating, do you?
Yes, I do.
Why?
Because the currents are floating it here and there.
No, I'm not saying... Okay, if that's true, how did it find its way into the Hudson River near New York City? Oh, coincidence?
Yeah, not coincidence. It fell into the river at some point around New York City. It is something, and it obviously was in the water for a long time because you could see it was eroded in places. It came from, some people are saying that it might have come from, there was a wardrobe barge of some kind, okay?
Phil, I've been in show business my whole life. And I've never heard of a wardrobe barge. Wow.
Well, what's a wardrobe barge, man?
I'm quoting the news. They said there was a barge that was carrying theatrical props down the river at one point.
Is that right?
Yes, that's right. I don't know what it is.
Well, I've never heard of a wardrobe barge, unless you're talking about Janet Jackson.
Give me five.
Yeah.
Aren't you funny? All right. Anyway, Lavin was in a small motorboat beside the team. Greg Cannon, director of public affairs for the Poughkeepsie School, told ABCNews.com. He didn't know what it was at first, but he saw it was an obstruction that would have been in the way of the shipping channel, so he went out to investigate.
Oh, right. So all of a sudden he's concerned about New York shipping channels.
Look at Margaret. Once he realized it wasn't he wasn't in a scene from Planet of the Apes and that it wouldn't be terribly heavy, he wrapped a line around the head and towed it himself. The crew team then helped him pull it in from the water. They pulled it in, and it was some kind of styrofoam core with a fiberglass shell over it, according to Cannon. Enough of the foam was exposed that it got waterlogged. It got pretty heavy. Members of the team helped drag it up onto the dock. From there, they dragged this thing back to the school up the river, I guess, or it's some point near the school, and they've decided to mount this thing near the rowing team's boathouse as a kind of souvenir of their morning rows. In fact, I think they've even given it a name, but I don't know what the name is. They don't know where the thing is from. They theorize, as I mentioned to you, Margaret, that it might have fallen off of a barge that was hauling theatrical props. But if you look at this thing, it's obviously been in the water a long time, like the school's public affairs director pointed out, because it's waterlogged. It has pieces of the fiberglass are peeled off. One of the students, who not only a member of the rowing team, but he's also an art student, wanted to refurbish it. And like I said, they want to put it on top of the team's boathouse as some kind of a totem of some kind. One of the weird theories, and Coach Lavin said he doesn't agree with this, and I have to agree with him.
Well, he said Hurricane Katrina. Why don't you agree with that?
I think that's wishful thinking. Ooh, it came from, somebody decided that it looked like something off of a Mardi Gras float and that it got blown out into the Gulf from Hurricane Katrina and somehow made its way all the way up to New York Harbor and then just floated in. And wow, look at this. I don't think so. First of all, it had metal piping in it, too. It not only was styrofoam, and it not only was fiberglass, but it had this metal almost reinforcement. It wasn't rebar, but it was kind of a metal pipe, which makes you think that it was permanently affixed to something.
What do you mean?
Well, it just so happens that they use styrofoam in modern construction. Not a lot of it, but a lot of those columns that you see, folks, especially on McMansions, a lot of the molding that you see on the outside of houses has styrofoam. It's stucco over styrofoam.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine someone buying a home and finding that?
I found it on my house. You kidding?
You kidding me?
No. It sort of pissed me off because the stucco was coming away, and I go, look at this, it's styrofoam. Now, having said that, how do we know that that wasn't some sort of ornamentation from a building somewhere that, yes, might have gotten blown off in a storm, probably more likely Sandy?
Yes, the one in New York.
Yeah. Maybe it was something that got blown off of the top of a building or blown off of something that was supposed to be sort of permanently affixed, because this metal piping that they found inside of it might have meant that it was attached to a larger structure of some kind. But I'm sure that it came from the New York area, that it was lost at some point and went into the water and has been sitting in the water for a long time. I don't know why it wasn't discovered until now, but there it was floating in the Hudson River in New York.
Well, how do you miss something that's 7 feet tall like that?
I don't know. Unless it was obscured by brush, unless the current suddenly picked up and it got blown down the river. The Hudson River goes north and travels all the way to, doesn't it go all the way up to the St. Lawrence River or something? I don't know, the Erie Canal. But anyway, this thing had been in the water for a long time, that's for sure, because like the guy said, it was waterlogged. It was. I think it's kind of interesting.
Man, I think that'll find out that that head come from New Orleans.
No, it's not from New Orleans. You heard Phil.
Nah, I don't know.
Why do you think it's from New Orleans, man? People come up with goofy stories like that because they want... Ooh, wow. There's a connection.
Why couldn't there be?
Think about it, man. Wait, just think about it. Why would this thing float from New Orleans out of the Gulf, then around Florida, and then up the East Coast?
Well, the hurricanes and everything, man, like the Gulf Stream.
Well, I'd have to see what the direction of the Gulf Stream is.
Well, that's a good point. Remember the movie, what was it, Jaws?
Yeah.
The shark came from the Mississippi River.
No, it was the one shark they caught that had a license plate in it.
Yeah, that's right, a Louisiana license plate.
I don't know, man. The shark that they caught off of Long Island, yeah, the shark had been around. But that's something that actually can guide itself and direct itself. A shark is going to go where it's going to go. Ahead.
Well, that's why I'm saying, did it propel or...
No, Margaret, I don't think it moved itself.
You know, you're very cynical, Phil.
Well, that's the only thing to explain it.
That's the only thing that would explain it coming from New Orleans, man. Yeah, it drove itself up to New York. God, give me a break, will you?
Don't be so close-minded.
I'm not close-minded. I'm trying to be intelligent here. I don't think that head floated from the Mardi Gras through the Gulf, all the way up the side, up the thing, into the damn,
Hudson River? You don't know the name of it.
Yes, I do. The Hudson River.
Where is it?
New York.
Wrong. New York Harbor.
Oh,
get out of here, will you? Anyway, congratulations, Mr. Head. For finding your way all the way up the... what are you laughing at, bud? He's in the doorway laughing.
Mr. Head! You can't hit me either because I'm way over here. And it was... Ow, that hurt.
Yeah, I didn't know I had that kind of aim, did you?
Wow, with a golf ball.
Yep. All right, folks. One thing... By the way, I've noticed something, and if I ever do this, please tell me to stop. I don't know why it bothers me. But there was an interview going on during the events of last week around the terrible news events. But there are people, I don't know why they do it, when they ask you, you ask them a question, they start off every answer with so. Have you noticed this?
No.
Mr. Jones, how are you doing today? So, I'm fine.
No, he didn't do that.
I swear to God, you'll say, like, what do you think caused this? So, there's a... Or so, you ever heard that?
Yeah, I think it's because they are nervous.
Nervous? Well, I guess I can understand they're nervous, but that actually happened to me today in conversation with just a person that I know. I said, what time do you think you'll be there tomorrow? So I have a dental appointment.
Really?
Yes.
Maybe it's autism. I'm kidding.
Okay. All right, we'll be right back, folks. World famous Phil Hendry Show, philhendryshow.com. And don't forget your backstage pass, which gives you a view into the world, into the wild, weird, wicked, wacky, woo world of Will Wendry or Phil Hendry.
Will Wendry, man.
Yeah, but started with a W.
I didn't tell you could come back in here yet.
All right. Truth Phil Hendry Show. Is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Will Wendry.
Sell me?
What do you mean, what am I trying to sell you? I'm not trying to sell you guys anything.
Well, you're talking about like a giant tsunami.
Well, I mean, we're talking about, currents. We're talking about weather. We're talking about how things are affected. This giant head story is but a small example of the interesting things you can find in the water. And Dan and I were discussing here, as I was with you, Margaret, and you, Robert, and Bud, you can come sit down now.
Can I comment on a news stories and everything?
We'll see.
One word out of you that's dumb, and all bets are off.
Margaret, I'll make that call. Thank you very much.
Well,
I'll make the call. Thank you very much. The stuff that's floating in the water, after the Japanese tsunami, they found stuff on the northwest coast, Oregon, Washington, docks, bits of dock. And
how do you know it's from Japan?
You ever heard of Japanese writing? Wow.
All right.
Yeah. That could have been not in Japanese.
It was in Japanese, though they knew that these were docks from the tsunami. And they also found, as we were talking, crustacean kinds of sea mollusks, animals that are indigenous, that is sea life indigenous to the coast of Japan, but is not necessarily indigenous here to the United States. And that kind of thing environmentally can be dangerous. And I'm not just talking about tree-hugging stuff. I'm talking about commercial fisher people who are, you know, plying those waters for their livelihood, and now all of a sudden, the sea life up there could be dying out or otherwise negatively affected because you've introduced a species into those waters that is harming the native, you know, sea life. And so that's something that they had to take into consideration. But there was an earthquake off of the coast of Japan in the early 18th century.
Now, how do they know that? That I gotta hear.
I'll tell you how they know it. It's very easy. You take a look at the record. You look at the geologic record. There are trees, surviving trees or roots in the northwestern part of the United States that show very obvious signs of having been submerged up to a certain level in seawater. You can find it in the strata of the rocks.
Look at you with the big word strata. What does that mean anyway?
Yeah.
Look at me with the big word strata? Oh, wow. It's plural of stratum, okay?
Which is what?
These are the layers of soil. Margaret, don't bug me. I'm on a roll here.
Yes, Professor.
Anyway, so there was an earthquake that created a tsunami that was... obviously, this tsunami left Japan and affected the northwest part of the United States. It was a lot more powerful than the one that was just felt, you know, a couple of years ago in Japan. The only way that we have record of these things is from the, not anecdotal, but the oral tradition of the Japanese people at that time, living in villages along the coast. The stories are very clear. There was an enormous earthquake, an enormous tidal condition that affected large portions of land and killed a lot of people. And then also Native American oral history speaks of a wave of some kind, a tsunami of some kind that hit the northern, northwestern part of what we now know as the United States. Back then it was the early 18th century. I don't know what the hell it was.
Probably like the...
Was that Ireland? Well, not Ireland, but...
Not Ireland, man.
It was Spain. Wasn't it Spain?
No, it was not Spain. It was... It was Dutch.
Not Dutch? What, Washington and Oregon?
Yeah.
No, it wasn't Dutch.
Well, those were the only ones that were... Who were the ones that were exploring? The Spanish, the Portuguese, the Dutchies, or the or whatever they're called.
The Dutch.
The Dutch.
Yeah.
And the...
What about a Norwegian?
There is no such thing as Norwegian. Are you going to get on that kick again?
Oh, Norwegians.
You're just talking about one.
Ace of Base, they're from Sweden, not from Norwegica. I mean from...
Norway.
Norway. No, it was probably British.
That's it, yes.
British.
You mean that's it? Go Dutch.
Same difference.
Not really, but in any event, so yeah, that's the history. There's an oral tradition among Native people of northwest United States that a big tsunami hit. And they also have that, as I said, they have the geologic record, they have the record in the soil strata. They know that there was a large event having to do with seawater and affecting many miles inland, the northwestern part of the United States. I'll tell you something, man, if we'd had a tsunami like that this time around, then you would have seen some damage up there. But as it was, it nailed, I forget which part of, it was Northern California, and that was about it. Anyway, enough with the giant head, man. I've had it with that giant head.
Watch how you say that.
You guys with your dirty minds. We got people listening, bud. You know, they may not want to keep hearing your head jokes, okay?
You're the one who's all talking about, hey, giant head. Everybody, come up and get it. Giant head.
Get out of here. I didn't say anything of the sort.
Yeah, come and get it, man. We're talking about come and get it.
That's, you might as well have done that.
Like I'm some carnival barker. No, I wasn't. I was talking about a story. Man, you dumb. Woo, you dumb. All right, ladies and gentlemen, a reminder that the Phil Henry website, philhenryshow.com, online at philhenryshow.com, with a backstage pass, you have thousands and thousands of hours of audio. Coming very, very soon, within the next couple, 3 weeks, we will have free trials. That's right, we will be offering a free trial subscription to our website. So you'll be able to enter the website, listen to the various offerings that we have, watch the video cast at your leisure, baby. And we're going to be introducing an affiliate program. So I have long promised our BSPs a little bit of a reward. We've got some more stuff coming up. We're going to be mass mailing to everybody who is who's been a friend of our radio show and our website down through the years. Then we're also going to be sending out an email to our BSPs. We're going to be putting our BSPs in this affiliate program so that if you refer people who do get website subscriptions, that's going to benefit you. And as well, we will be, what was the other thing I said we were going to do?
Free trials.
The free trial. We'll be introducing that. So that's forthcoming. And why is the TV frozen? What happened here?
I don't know. It always does the weird things like that.
I just want to let a lot of you guys know this. If you don't know this, for those of you who may be up late and this is unusual for you, in the middle of the night, the cable companies decide to do all kinds of squirrely stuff with the TV. Man, I've seen these things almost blow apart. It's frozen. You got weird. I'm waiting for the night that nothing but nonstop porn starts pouring through these screens until 6 a.m. Cut. The Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and Phil Hendry and is a production of Bud Dickman Enterprises. I'm just kidding. It is what it is. Join us again tomorrow night, tonight at 10 on the West Coast, 1 a.m. on the East Coast for the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And until that time, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Hendry.